Welcome to Cyber Mornings Daily. I'm really glad you could join us for today's deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everyone.
So today we are adopting the style of a high-impact cybersecurity briefing. We want to keep the transitions concise, focus on the practical impact, and, you know, really just give you clear takeaways.
Right, because today's stack of sources is just, well, it's intense.
It really is. Our mission for this deep dive is to unpack three massive interconnected stories from today's threat intel. It's June 7th, 2026, and we are looking at a severe, just a total breakdown in implicit trust across our software supply chains.
And our network infrastructure, too. It's everywhere.
Exactly. So we've got three main things to cover. First, the Miasma worm compromising 73 of Microsoft's own GitHub repositories.
Yeah, that one is wild.
Then we're looking at Ironworm and some new Miasma variants that are just poisoning the wider NPM ecosystem and like actively weaponizing developer tools.
Right.
And finally, an actively exploited, unpatched zero-day flaw in Cisco Catalyst SD-WAN Manager. Okay, let's unpack this.
So, starting with the situation inside Microsoft, it's really the tip of the spear here.
Yeah.
We are looking at a highly aggressive, self-replicating supply chain attack campaign. It's called the Miasma Worm.
Right. And it didn't just hit a few forgotten side projects. The facts here are staggering. It successfully compromised 73 repositories across major Microsoft GitHub orgs.
We are talking critical spaces.
Yeah.
Azure, Microsoft Docs, Azure Samples.
I mean, the specific names in the reports are just crazy to read. It hit repos like Azure Search OpenEye, Demo Preview, Data Security, and Homebrew functions.
Yeah, those aren't small targets.
No, not at all. It spread so quickly that GitHub actually had to manually step in and disable access to those repos to stop the bleeding.
Which is a huge escalation.
It is. But, you know, what really caught my eye was an insight from security researcher Paul McCarty. He called this a reopened wound.
Oh, right. Referring to the PyPI compromise from May.
Exactly. The durable task package that got infected by Team PCP. McCarty pointed out that the attackers plausibly never fully lost their credentials from that incident.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and I keep coming back to this analogy. I look at Miasma, and it's basically a digital vampire.
A vampire. Okay, I like that.
Well, think about it. A vampire doesn't, like, break a window to get in. It has to be invited in.
Right, it needs permission.
Exactly. Miasma doesn't use some zero day to force its way into GitHub. It steals a credential, a maintainer's token, to get invited through the front door.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
And once it's inside, it just skips the NPM registry entirely sometimes, pushing these massive 4.3 megabyte payload runners directly to repos like iFluorescuMaintain Datable.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that analogy is spot on. This attack is devastating precisely because it exploits the open source trust model.
It totally weaponizes it.
Right. It doesn't use a vulnerability in GitHub itself. It compromises the maintainer's key. So to the registry, these malicious updates, they just look like routine, legitimate publishes.
Because it's coming from an authenticated source.
Exactly. The system trusts the identity, completely ignoring the malicious intent.
And, okay, we really need to take a second to talk about the detonation mechanism for these payloads, because it is insane.
It really is. It targets modern AI coding assistants.
Yeah. It doesn't even wait for the code to be built or deployed. The payload executes when a developer simply clones the repo and opens it in an AI agent like Claude Code or Gemini CLI.
Or Cursor. Or VS Code. Basically anything that parses the workspace in the background.
You don't even run the software. You just open the folder and boom, it detonates.
It's turning our own productivity tools against us.
Which is terrifying. But okay, let's pivot a bit. If Miasma is this vampire hitting the big high-value targets like Microsoft, What happens when these worms enter the broader water supply?
Well, that's where things get even messier. The NPM ecosystem is under a massive assault right now.
Right, the JFrog research on Ironworm.
Yeah, JFrog found this new strain. It's a Rust-based info stealer, but it hides behind an eBPF kernel rootkit.
Wait, using eBPF for a rootkit, that's a serious escalation.
It's incredibly sophisticated. It subverts the operating system at the lowest level, filtering out its own malicious activity so security tools think everything is fine.
Wow. And it's super aggressive, right? It targets 86 different environment variables.
Yeah, looking for AWS, Kubernetes, and Docker secrets. It even swaps out GitHub Actions workflows to harvest secrets as build artifacts.
So it completely eliminates the need for an external command and control server.
Exactly. It uses GitHub's own infrastructure to exfiltrate the data.
There was this one bizarre quirk in the JFrog report, though. Did you catch the part about the cryptocurrency wallet?
Oh, the Exodus wallet exclusion, yeah.
It's so funny. The malware actually has a hard-coded exception to skip the threat actor's own Exodus wallet.
Which is currently sitting completely empty.
Right. Zero transactions. It's like a bank robber saying, hey, don't rob my safe deposit box, but the box is totally empty.
It just shows how automated this credential scraping is. Hmm. They're vacuuming up everything blindly, so they had to explicitly tell it not to rob themselves.
True. And while Ironworm is doing all of that, we also have Endor Labs and Step Security finding a new Miasma variant.
Right, that one hit 32 packages in the Red Hat Cloud Services namespace.
In just 72 seconds? That speed is unbelievable.
It compromised 57 NPM packages in total, exfiltrating data to these staged GitHub accounts.
Burner accounts, essentially. Like that one named Luin501.
Exactly.
Now, Step Security also mentioned something they called Phantom JIP, and I wanted to ask you about this. They said it abuses a tiny 157-byte binding.jip file to trigger code execution.
Yes, instead of the standard pre-install scripts.
So is this basically turning the routine installation process itself into an invisible landmine to bypass the security scripts?
That is exactly what it's doing, because legacy build tools use those JIP files legitimately. Scanners often treat them as safe configuration files.
So they just gloss right over them.
Yeah. But what's fascinating here is an even more alarming evolution that OX Security discovered.
Oh, the adaptive command and control thing.
Yes. The Miasma attack chain is actively using GitHub as an adaptive C2 center.
That is just so bold.
It is. It executes an API search on GitHub for specific commits containing the word fire to laser to retrieve its next payload.
Wait, really? It just searches the public commit history?
Exactly. The threat actors are piggybacking on a trusted, whitelisted platform.
Because, I mean, no corporate IT department is going to block GitHub traffic. It would break everything.
Precisely. Most security tools don't flag GitHub traffic as suspicious at all.
Okay, so what is the practical takeaway for you listening right now if you're managing these environments?
The immediate impact is clear. Developers must rotate credentials immediately.
Assume they're compromised.
Yes. You also need to turn off install scripts and native rebuilds by default in your package managers.
And pin those packages with integrity hashes, right?
Absolutely. You have to verify what you're downloading.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the software supply chain, like the actual code we build. Now let's pivot and talk about the literal network infrastructure that carries that code.
Yeah, because the erosion of trust isn't just a software problem.
No, it's not. We are looking at CVE-2026-2035. It's a 7.8 high severity flaw in the Cisco Catalyst SD-WAN manager.
And this affects both on-prem and cloud deployments.
Right, including FedRAMP authorized government networks. It allows an authenticated local attacker to execute arbitrary commands as root just by supplying a crafted file via the CLI.
And crucially, it is actively exploited in the wild.
With no patch available.
None.
But wait, I have to push back on this a little bit. When I read the sources, it explicitly says the attacker already needs NetAdmin privileges to do this.
That's right.
So if they already have network admin access, isn't it basically already game over? Why is the specific 7.8 flaw such a huge deal?
This raises an important question, and the answer is all about vulnerability chaining.
Okay, how so?
Well, attackers like the UAT-861 scene group, they don't start with NetAdmin access. They use this new flaw to elevate privileges to root.
Oh, to get into the underlying operating system.
Exactly. They achieve that initial NetAdmin access by exploiting previous 0 days.
Like the one from last month?
Yes, the CVSS 10.0 authentication bypass, CVE-2026-2182, or even the older CVE-2026-2127.
Oh, wow. So they string them together.
They do. And this is actually the seventh actively exploited Cisco SD-WAN flaw this year alone.
That's a relentless campaign.
Really is. Google Mandiant has already seen this, resulting in configuration changes pushed directly to edge devices across the network.
So they basically own the entire traffic flow at that point.
Completely.
Since there's no patch for the root escalation yet, what are the mitigations? What do people need to do today?
You have to upgrade your SD-WAN software to the May 14 fixes right now.
To block that initial CVSS 10.0's access.
Right, break the chain. Mm. And then you need to check your /log/scripts.log file for specific indicators of compromise.
The sources mentioned looking for something called malicious.csv, right?
Yes, malicious.csv, or any suspicious.shelled script executions.
Got it. So what does this all mean? We've covered a lot of ground today.
It all points to a single, really cohesive theme, we are watching the total erosion of implicit trust.
Yeah, the foundation is cracking.
Exactly. Whether it's a signed NPM package or a GitHub commit from an authenticated maintainer or a trusted network appliance, attackers are no longer just breaking our tools, they are wearing them as disguises.
That is a terrifying way to put it, but it's so accurate. The burglar manufactured the lock.
They really did.
Which leaves you, our listener, with something heavy to mull over today. If our entire security model relies on trusting authenticated users and, you know, whitelisting platforms like GitHub,
right.
How on earth do we defend ourselves when those exact platforms become the malware command and control centers?
It's the million-dollar question.
Are we rapidly approaching a reality where we need zero trust for literally every single line of open source code we compile?
It certainly looks that way. We can't take anything for granted anymore.
We really can't. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Stay vigilant, verify your code, and stay safe out there.